This is URN.
A horrific survey that's been released in France saying that up to 1/8 of women have been raped at least once. So this survey was done by Fondation Jean Jaurès, which is based in Paris. And the statistics are honestly shocking, harrowing. We've got at least, I think it was 43% of women say they've been sexually touched without their consent, and nearly 60% of women have been subject to inappropriate behaviour. So this investigation was launched after Hollywood reports on the Harvey Weinstein began to emerge last year, and it's got its own hashtag, so very similar to the Me Too movement, which is Balance ton porc, meaning rat on your pig, which spread throughout France over the past like month. The survey represents obviously this rising awareness and understanding in these horrific acts, with another separate report actually released today saying about the likelihood of vulnerable women in the UK being extensively abused. This was like in particular focused on adult women. But there's also been some controversy around the Fondation Jean Jaurès report. France has kind of flung itself into deeper debate about what constitutes sexual harassment. But I think this report did offer a stepping stone necessary to progressive movements such as like Me Too, because it showed many different types of harassment and how broad the range is, and especially how it can affect so many people. Because honestly, like 60%. Of women being subject to inappropriate behaviour. It's just horrendous. But debate still remains, because French actor Catherine Deneuve was one of many who signed an open letter calling for the end of these campaigns because people think they're going about it the wrong way. But I think the report horrifically highlights just how many women have been affected and kind of all the different types of harassment that there is, other than just what people might have originally thought. But and also made me think in particular, if surveys like these were carried out in other countries, what kind of results there would be, because this is just one where they've done such a mass scale report more recently. And so if these were spread further out, like what would we find out? But I just wanted to ask you guys, what do you think, like, do you think this would be reflected in other countries as well as France? Do you think this is an overall theme that is worrying, like the statistics on there, extremely high, so up to 1/8 of women saying they've been raped like at least once?
It's very hard to tell with statistics sometimes quite what they're trying to prove. Up to 1/8, so assuming no more than 1/8, something like that, roughly 1/8 women.
12%.
So 12% of women.
That's 4 million women, by the way.
Have been subject to sexual abuse.
Have been raped at least once in their life.
Raped in particular. So without knowing, that is one data point. Is that a lower proportion than 10 years ago? Is that... No, but these are figures we don't necessarily have. Mm-hmm. And this is why... So I heard a... when I was much younger, I heard a police officer come into the scout group I was in and tell me that police officers don't always, or at least in the ones that she knows, she said they didn't always look at figures about crime and about the reported number of crimes in a negative light. If more people are reporting sexual assault, sexual harassment, sexual abuse, there's a potential to say, well, actually, it's better that people are now feeling comfortable enough to report it, mm-hmm. given that there's no way of knowing just how many crimes are committed, because we won't get the full statistic. And it is the same for most crimes, but with most crimes, it's nearer the actual number.
Yeah,
this is a type of crime where people feel sometimes feel that they can't report it. They're too embarrassed. They're too ashamed. The process is too demeaning. There are myriad factors as to why the figures for these things, whilst regardless of their accuracy or not, I would assume that 1/8 is a low figure because people aren't reporting the truth necessarily. Now, quite how many that would be is irrelevant, as it were, because we don't know. And we can't know, because not everyone feels able to report it for whatever reason.
I think the danger with kind of seeing, being like, oh yes, this is a positive result because it shows that people are talking about it, is that with things like the Me Too movement, the way it's been bracketed, some people are like, oh, it's just about empowerment and people talking about what's happened. But I think we definitely need to concentrate on the fact that this is, like, with two studies released just today talking about how horrific the levels of sexual harassment are. And even if it is getting better, even if we're in a position to say, look, people are talking about it, we need to focus on the fact that this is over half of the French female population who have been made uncomfortable due to sexual acts.
Quite right, and it's perfect that we're in a generation at the moment, or the age that we're in is one where social media has, you know, sparked this campaign where women feel comfortable to come forward. Referring to your original question, if we conducted a study like that here, you know, would it have a similar result? I think it's different. I think there are cultural differences. I think there are, you know, cultural differences in how certain behaviours perceived, how certain behaviours perceived to be allowed. There's a mass amount of difference in between Britain and France. So in that regard, I'm sure there would be a lot of this kind of behaviour. But again, you know, it's a cultural difference. There would be a difference in the behaviour reported and in the extent to which it was reported too, just because of how culture affects respondents in surveys, and that happens with pretty much every survey and every poll. There's differences, and that's how they work. In answer to the kind of nuanced point we were having there, which is, you know, in using social media and kind of just viewing coming forward with issues like this as a matter of empowerment, it's a controversial matter, because it's the lesser of two evils in a sense. Because are we choosing between a really, really rigorous and long process of ensuring that every single woman in a country is vetted to make sure that they've never been sexually assaulted? And, you know, if that was possible, and, you know, with the government's money, it would be the best thing to do. It would be amazing to have every person that's ever been made to feel uncomfortable because of the behavior of someone else should be should at least get an apology. And the kind of, it's the choice between that and a very diluted form, which is just hashtag Me Too, it's something like that. And I feel like I wish there was a happy medium.
Can there be a happy medium? Because in a sense, the crime's been committed. It can't be taken back. It's not like even something that, a crime that can be reversed, say fraud, where you've lost a lot of money and the money can be returned. It's not like that. These can have long-lasting, high-impact mental effects that can never be reversed. An apology, justice being done, still isn't really, in that sense, justice being done, because people are living their lives in fear. And it's partly why the Me Too and other such movements are not just important, but it's terrible that they're purely being viewed as female empowerment. They're not just female empowerment, they're empowerment of victims of crime. Most other victims of crime get a chance in some way, barring crimes where the victim is no longer around, to seek some retribution, to seek some justice. But due to the societal factors, due to the discomfort of society in talking about these sorts of crimes, it is empowerment of people to say, this is not acceptable, I want justice, and I don't care that it's taboo, that it's embarrassing, that it's awkward. It was awkward for me. It was more than awkward for me, and I'm now going to make that point. I'm now going to tell everyone. And it's partly what I meant by saying that it's good that more people are reporting it, because to slightly touch on something we'll discuss later, it's a common refrain made that, oh, laws don't stop people committing crimes, mm-hmm. so why bother introducing new laws? I won't spoil the debate for later.
I couldn't agree with you more about that.
But if we're never going to be able to stop the crime, which would be utopia one day, it might happen, you know, but then we need to make sure that everybody who has these types of crimes committed against them feels that they get the justice that they deserve, and that they, if they are able to, can carry on like the victim of other crimes and lead as much of a normal life as possible.
I honestly couldn't have put things better. That was very true, because I think we do need to encourage these movements, because in the world we live in today, it is so easy to criticise kind of a bit of freedom and general liberation for horrible things that have happened, and I think it's really easy to generalise. And so that's why I was kind of going to ask you about the Me Too movement in general. Do you think there's anything different, or like, well, obviously with the movement, because it's amazing and bringing forward so many clear ideas and, well, sadly horrific incidents, do you think there's like a different angle, like another angle that can be taken, or something else we can all do?
So the validity and the importance of the Me Too movement has been attacked because of what some of the things the Me Too movement or those associated with it have been doing, and it is the same of any organisation, that outliers will be the ones picked on by its opponents to show how bad everyone is, but it's not, it's just not true. An easy example of that would be the recent furore over Jennifer Lawrence wearing so she was on they were doing a photo shoot, there were four male co-stars of hers in suits, dressed for the weather. It was incredibly cold, and she was in a dress, an open dress as well, so exposed to very cold weather. And her response was, why would I cover up that beautiful dress, that beautiful Versace dress? She chose to wear the outfit. She wasn't forced into it, but it got taken on by a lot of the Me Too proponents and a lot of hashtags with the Me Too saying, oh, it's ridiculous that Jennifer Lawrence is underdressed, but the men are all dressed appropriately for the weather.
I think what that exposes is the Me Too campaign trying to perpetuate an element of vulnerability that isn't necessarily there. Yeah. And, you know, that's problematic, because for a movement that is attempting to empower women, it's doing the exact opposite. Yeah. Exposing sexual assault is one thing. It is giving women an increased ability and this free ability to use social media and to use the internet to say, this is what's happened to me, screw the guy who did it. But taking it a step further is, you know, taking it further and then using that movement to judge women on decisions they may or may not have made. So in this case, they assumed Jennifer Lawrence didn't want to wear that. I think, yeah, like I said, it does perpetuate and it creates and thus perpetuates. It molds its own way of looking at women as vulnerable and as, you know, not non-self-determining. It takes away free will.
Exactly. It's the irony that for a movement that's trying to defend female autonomy, it argued against, admittedly what they thought wasn't, but they argued against it.
No, that's completely right. I mean, I think we can see that there's various sides to this, but overall, a shocking report that's hopefully going to cause some more conversation.
This is URN.